Shalom, everybody. We have a very interesting class today. We're going to see Rav Kook's take on a very common problem. As a rabbi's son, I always grew up with this stigma of that you have to be on your best behavior because you're the rabbi's son. And there's a concept of the rabbi's daughter that everyone's looking at, so she rebels. And what we're going to talk about today is Rav Kook has an interesting take on the price that religious and community leaders pay by their communal roles. And it's based on a Gemara, Masechet Shabbat, in source number 1, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. And the Gemara is continuing what we've been speaking about, where the Gemara says there are several reasons, several causes for hidrokan. Hidrokan, from the word hydro, is a type of swelling. And as the Talmud often does, and there's a lot of symbolism here, tells us that one of the causes that causes the swelling is famine. That we saw last time, Abaye starved himself, and that was a reason why he had the swelling. A second reason is sin. And that was Abaye's problem that we dealt with last time, that he was worried that people will think that he's a sinner because he's suffering from this swelling. And Rava says, no, you don't have to worry. Everybody knows that Abaye does these fasts every Monday and Thursday, and he is ascetic. He doesn't want to enjoy the physical world. And we saw last time that Rav Kook says that today in the modern world, especially in Eretz Yisrael, that approach doesn't hold. And now we see that Rava also suffered from this hidrokan. And the question is why? Rava, the Gemara says, Rava Chashbe, he also had this swelling. And again, as soon as you have swelling, the first thing that people might accuse you of either sinning or that you do these fasts. V'harava hu da'amar nafishi ketile kedar minafiche kafan. Right, maybe we'll look in Rashi first, right underneath it. I brought for you Rashi. Where Rava Vaharava da Amar Klomar Lama Chashbo. The Gemara is asking really why is Rava suffering from the swelling? Vahalohir Ivetatsmo. We saw last time that he came out against Abaye. He's not in favor of doing Yom Kippur twice a week. Yom Kippur is once a year. And if he is against it, does that mean that he's suffering the swelling because he's a sinner? Midikamar yadana be benachmani michlal damari vatzmo rabbe enav. Right? He came out again last week saying that Abaye Nachmani was wrong for fasting, and that's why he suffered this punishment of the swelling. V'imishum shayam mishahen nikavav. And here we have a new theory that there is a Gemara in Masechet Bechorot that says tsoa rabba hidrokan rabba. That somebody who has abdominal problems with going to the bathroom, that causes swelling. If you go a lot to the bathroom, that will cause you swelling. She'al she'hiyat nikavim huba, I'm sorry, that if you hold it in and you don't go to the bathroom, that can cause the swelling. So the Gemara thinks that maybe that's the reason why Rava was having the swelling again. Not because he's fasting, and for sure, not because he's a sinner. And getting back to the source number 1, where the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat says, V'harava hu da'amar, it was actually Rava himself, who said, Nafishi katila kedar minafiche kafin. That the abdominal problems cause more swelling than famine, than those who were fasting. So if he himself says that holding it in and not going to the bathroom when you need to, that causes the swelling, the hidrokan, so why does he himself, that can't be the reason. He himself tells us, he warns us against it. Continues the Gemara, back in source number one. Shiny Rava. Sorry?
Isn't that also the Avera of Baal Tushantu?
Correct. Shiny Rava, De'ansi le'rabbanan be'idnei Baal Korche. And the Gemara answers that yes, Rava is the one who told us that if you need to go to the bathroom, you have to go. And as somebody pointed out, there's even a mitzvah d'oraita regarding tzorachim gedolim. There are those that say it's an isur d'oraita of Baal Tishaktsu. So why is he holding it in? Answers the Gemara, because d'ansi le'rabbanan, because the rabbis at the end of class, they ask him a lot of questions. And he has no choice but to stick around and answer the questions, even though he's been giving a shiur for an hour and a half, and, excuse me, he needs to go to the bathroom. Nevertheless, everyone's asking him these questions, and he has no choice. So even though Rava knows that it's wrong not to go to the bathroom, nevertheless, he has no choice because he has to answer the questions. Let's look in Rashi. Again, the third paragraph of Rashi, Ansi le rabbanim bi'idnei, ha-talmidim ha-kvuim lehem et lefanav, onsin oto la-ashot nekevav. Because good students, top students, again, we're talking about rabbis who participate in the class of the top Rosh Yeshiva, they ask good questions. And everybody knows that if you have two Jews, you have three opinions. And if you have two rabbis, you have four opinions. And rabbis like to argue. He has to spend a lot of time, even more time than he planned in giving the shiur, because he has to stick around. And in the end, so that's what the Gemara is saying, that Rava suffered from this hydrokan swelling, not because he was a sinner, and not because he fasted, but because he had to go to the bathroom, and he didn't. Now, if you're not allowed to hold it in, so why did Rava do so? And even if the Gemara says, well, the rabbis were asking him all these questions, nevertheless, if you're not allowed to, you're not allowed to. Rav Kook, in Einaya, Piska Resh Mem, that's tonight's topic, Haderech HaYishara B'Mishkal HaShmira HaRe'uya Gam B'Inyanei HaChomer Hi Omnam Chova Kolelet. There is a general obligation to take care of your health. You're not allowed to rely on a miracle. And everybody knows that even if you have a handful of Breslover Hasidim who for one reason or another don't give vaccines to their children, that is, not only is it not mainstream Judaism, it is against the halacha. If Hashem revealed to scientists a vaccine, then he wants us to use it. I won't get off to talking about corona and the problem why the Haredim aren't wearing their masks as much as other people are and why they're getting sick more than other people are, but it is connected, where Rav Kook is saying very clearly, and something you don't even have to elaborate on, that a person has to take care of their health. That goes without saying. If the doctors say you have to do something, you have to put on a mask. You have to keep your distance. Aval im gam ha'oved l'rabim, but somebody who has a communal position in this context is talking about rabbis, teachers, roshei yeshiva. Yishkol et halichotav b'moznei hadiyuk. They have a particular problem, because even though you're supposed to watch out for your health, mibli levater lifamim, la'asot gam yoter mikocho bishvil tovat harabim. Somebody who has a communal position very often has to sacrifice his physical health, and we'll also see his spiritual health, for the sake of Am Yisrael, for the sake of his community. Bein binyanim chomriyim, whether it be talking about sleeping less than you have to. Why? Because you have to prepare classes. I remember the years that I taught Shiur Iyuni in Gemara, learning Gemara in depth. I bet most people don't know. I remember I measured. It took an average of 14 hours to prepare 1 hour long class in Gemara. And I'm talking about for 18, 19-year-olds who are intelligent, who know how to learn. You have to think beforehand every question they're going to ask. You have to prepare all of the Rishonim. You have to look up in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. I remember, 14 hours. Now, when you're working for Am Yisrael, and again, you have to remember Rav Kook. Actually, he usually didn't sign his letters, but he had a chotemet, a seal, which had on it Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kook, Chief Rabbi, Eved La'am Kadosh Al Admat HaKodesh, a slave to the holy people in the Holy Land. Everybody knows that the Jewish people are very demanding. I think I mentioned once here that I was talking on a flight with a stewardess actually was, and they were talking about, you know, her experiences, and I said to her, she's Jewish, Israeli, I said to her, you know, a rhetoric question, Jews are probably the most difficult passengers, no? They have all these requests and kvetches, complaints, and she nodded her head, even though it very clearly wasn't politically correct to do so. Jews know how to kvetch, and Jews know how to demand, and it is not easy to be a rabbi or a community leader. It's not just sacrificing on sleep. It's a matter of answering questions during meals, answering questions on vacation. I answer questions for the Yeshivat Beit El website in English. And people don't realize that rabbis don't know it all. And yeah, there are some questions that you could answer right on the spot. But there are some questions that take an hour, two, three. Just this week, somebody asked me a question of, can a convert make the bracha of Shelo Asani Goy? Now, it just so happened that 20 years ago, two students, sisters, who were converts, asked me that question, and I saw that it disturbed them very much, and I spent many, many tens of hours, maybe 60, 70 hours, until I finally published an article, you can find it online, that if a convert wants to say Shelo Asani Goy, that it bothers him that he can't make the bracha, as if, what, I'm different from other Jews, I made the decision to be Jewish. The halacha is many, many poskim say that yes, he can do it. And especially if it bothers him, for sure he can answer. Why do I mention that? Because it just so happened that I saved myself the 50 hours of preparation because I had learned the sugya 20 years ago. But there are a lot of questions that it takes time, and again, it's at the expense of going to the bathroom sometimes, getting questions on vacation, traveling. Just traveling to Netanya, traveling to Natzeret Elit. They invited me last year to give a shiur in Natzeret Elit. The army. I've traveled in the army down south to most of the army bases are now in the Negev. And it's all volunteering, but it's somewhere, it's at the expense of something. Now, Rav Kook is pointing out is at the expense also of your physical life, and also your spiritual life. Because at that time, the time that you're spending learning, writing, teaching, traveling, you're not learning. Not only that, there is a particular problem of children of rabbis, where the Gemara in Masechet Nedarim, Daf Pei Aleph, actually asked the question, why are the children of Torah scholars, they're usually not Torah scholars. And the Gemara gives a hashkafic idea to show that you shouldn't think that the Torah is inherited. Even if your father was a great scholar, that you have to work hard, unless, otherwise you won't be. Now that is true, but anybody who knows rabbi's sons and daughters knows that the concept of the rabbi's son or the rabbi's daughter very often is a reason to rebel against religion, because that religion is seen in the eyes of the child as coming at the expense of me, of my own children, right? Or the child says himself. Okay? Continues Rav Kook, let's go on to paragraph Bet. U'be'erech shel ha'tova ha'klalit. And here also, we're not just talking about the children of rabbis. Also, if somebody is on the mazkirut of a yeshuv, my oldest son, Netanel, was for 2 years the head of the mazkirut. That's like a committee who runs Kochav HaShachar. And I had no idea how many tens of hours, without exaggeration, tens of hours, it would take up at least a day a week that he spent volunteering to help the yeshuv. Now, it's the same thing with a politician. When somebody is a rabbi of a shul or the gabbai of a shul, you have to give credit to these gabbaim. Just look at Simchat Torah, how hard the gabbaim work. And everyone's kvetching and complaining. Why didn't I get this aliyah and he got that aliyah? And everyone, and again, Jewish people are very thankless. And maybe all people are thankless, but we know the Jews from up close. And it's very difficult. And we know, for example, Ben-Gurion's children, the last thing they wanted to do was to enter politics, even though the name Ben-Gurion could have gotten them very, very far. They didn't want to use it because they knew that it was at the expense of themselves and it will be at the expense of their children. And that, again, as a rabbi's son, where my father was the principal of the school, very often his having a meeting here and a meeting there and having to discipline my friends, there is a price that it takes not just to be the son of the rabbi, which Davka brings children to rebel against religion and against their fathers in order to get attention, but also communal leaders or politicians, they have to make a double and triple effort to spend quality time with their children. Otherwise, their children are going to, like the psychologist Adler says, that negative attention is more preferable to the child than no attention. And they'll just make problems in order to get attention. And the easiest way to get attention is just to take off your kippah and to say that I don't want to be religious. And even if you have 15 children and the father and the mother are super busy, they will get all of the attention of their parents if they rebel. And again, these are problems. Maybe I'll just mention parenthetically, you know, sometimes people talk about protexia, using their position in order to get favors from their peers. And obviously there's a problem with it, but I'll just give a personal example that one of my children had difficulty, it wasn't that they had difficulty, but they were applying to a very selective high school. I won't say if it's boys or girls. I heard that there were hundreds of applicants for very few places. And it just so happened that educationally, my wife and I knew that this institute was the best place for our child. But again, what are the odds of them getting in? So I was thinking, maybe as Rosh Midrasha, for 20 years I was the head of a Midrasha, I'll give a call to the head of the yeshiva or opana, and, you know, he would maybe know my name and use a little leverage. And I thought, you know, I hate when people do that. On the other hand, I'll tell you exactly what I told him. I said, you know, as well as I do, that our children suffer a lot from the fact that we're in the rabbinate, that we're in chinuch. Now, if our children suffer so much in education, I think that it's not chutzpah to ask one favor one time, that if my child can get into your institution, do me a favor and let him or her in. And I would do the same thing for you simply because I know the problem of other communal leaders that they have educating their children, and that their giving to Am Yisrael is at the expense of their child's education. So if they suffer so much, maybe once or twice in their lifetime, I don't think it's chutzpah to ask for such a favor if it's something that you really know that the child is suitable. It's just that the principal might not know that. Anyway, it continues Rav Kook. Again, paragraph bet. Ube'erech shela tova haklalit. And here, again, he says, and we're not just talking about rabbis like Rava, he's the hero of the Gemara here, but the same thing with politician, or somebody who is plays a president of a shul or gabbai. Lo ya'aleh ha'revach shel ha'shmira be'oto ha'efsed she'yifgabo im tifra ha'avoda ha'klalit b'chol davar ha'nitzrach l'shmirat guf ha'oved. It's not going to be the end of the world, for example, in Rava's case, if you have to go to the bathroom, but again, excuse me, you have to hold it in for another couple of minutes till you finish answering the questions, because the gain of Am Yisrael at the account of your small loss, there's no comparison. And that is why we have to, all Jewish people, should give the needs of Am Yisrael, put them above our own personal needs, even if it be our health needs or the education of our children. And again, anybody who's been in this situation knows how problematic it really is. Nevertheless, Rav Kook is calling a spade a spade, and he's hitting the nail on the head, and he's saying, with all honesty, yes, to be a rabbi, you have to have self-sacrifice. But remember what it's about. There's a pasuk at the end of Divrei Hayamim, which I've mentioned here in the past, that mamash at the end of Divrei Hayamim Bet, one of the last pasukim in the Tanakh, it says, Ve'avadtem et Hashem Elokechem ve'et Amo Yisrael. You should serve the God, your God, and also his nation Israel. Now, I wouldn't dare say that to serve Am Yisrael and to serve God is on the same level. But it's there in black and white in the Tanakh. So that when we are serving Am Yisrael, that usually takes precedence over our physical needs and also over our spiritual needs, whether it be my own learning, whether it be educating my own children. Paragraph Gimel. Al ken, gama ovdim klaliim b'mishtar hamdini. Even not necessarily rabbis, but those people who, again, are in politics or communal roles, lo lahem nitana mishkala kavua lanashim pratiim. They can't make the same mishkal. A person who's attending a class, there are 300 people in the lecture. If he has to get up and go to the bathroom, nobody could care less. Maybe the people in his row who have to get up and let him out to go to the bathroom and let him in to come in when he comes back. But can you imagine if the rabbi who's giving to the class to 300 people, if he, excuse me, has to go to the bathroom in the middle of a class? He cannot. And even though it's a problem, halachic problem of Bal Tishaksu, there's also a problem midrabanan of Leyech Becha Akar Va'akara, the Mishnah Berurah brings it down. Nevertheless, when it comes to a community figure, he has to figure the shikul, how do you say, the balance, in a totally different way than the average person. And his health has to take backseat. Ulifamim emesimim gam ken nefesh bekaf, rak laafik tovat hatzibur. V'yekoach habriyut shelem nitan lekorban letoelet haklal kulo. Like we said before, very often when a person has to dedicate time to Am Yisrael, if he's volunteering to be gabbai, he's volunteering to be president of a shul, very often it's at the expense of his own parnasah. He's making less money that year. His family's going to have less what to eat that year. Nevertheless, we are supposed to be Eved La'am Kadosh Al Admot HaKodesh. Even though, nevertheless, it's not giving a blanket statement that a rabbi is never allowed to go to the bathroom, right? Sometimes you have to. V'chol davar v'inyan tzarich omed yafer lefi totzotav v'toalto. In every case, you have to weigh the pros and the cons, again, according to who you are in your communal role. Aval mikol makom nimna. It's impossible shelo yizdamein me'ora kaze be'oved klali u'me'ele haya rava. Rava was a rabbi, he was a Rosh Yeshiva, and the same thing with any... By the way, in Israel, anybody who is volunteering to be on the Vad Bayit, even a small local job, even if it's not Gabbai of a shul, there's nothing secular in the Jewish people. When Am Yisrael needs you, for example, say you have a makolet, you have a grocery store, and there's a bar mitzvah in the community, and they didn't buy enough chalot, and they come to your house on Shabbat and ask you for the key to take some extra chalot, they'll pay it back after Shabbat. Somebody who has a grocery which serves Jewish people, especially again in Israel where everyone's Jewish, and you could be a plumber and you're serving the Jewish people. An electrician is serving the Jewish people. And by the way, they're nafkaminot, they're long, Rav Aviner is a long article on the laws of Hilchot Chol HaMoed, that all of you know that during the intermediary days of holiday, you're not just allowed to work, it's not like Shabbat or Yom Tov, but there are certain things you're allowed to do, certain things you're not allowed to do. Rav Aviner, when he was a Rav of Kibbutz Lavi, or maybe it was the Moshav Keshet, he wrote a whole long article about the fourth heter, the fourth reason that might allow, that often, usually does allow you to do a prohibited melacha on Chol HaMoed, in addition to Devar HaAved, Hefsed Merubah, Tzorech HaMoed, did I say? And the fourth is Tzorech Rabim. For example, painting benches for the shul. That is Tzorech Rabim. So anything, by the way, not only painting benches for the shul. If you're on a kibbutz, painting park benches is also Tzorechei Rabim. And anything that you do, Bekitzor, in Israel, is almost everything, very common, is really you are serving Am Yisrael. Paragraph Dalid. V'totzaot ha'choli be'atzmo yishamshu la'asot geder l'derech mesukan kazeh. Shelo yavor gvulo, af shenovea mimakor shel tzedek na'alav v'nisgav. Here Rav Kook is a fantastic example where Rav Kook shows all three sides of a coin. On the one hand, a person, if you got to go to the bathroom, you have to go to the bathroom. On the other hand, if you're a rabbi or giving a class or in a communal role, sometimes you can't, you don't. On the third hand, back to the first side of the coin, you might get swelling, and you might get sick. And that, says Rav Kook, is God, i.e. nature's way, or I say nature, i.e. God's way, of making sure that you don't overdo it. Because, again, in this example, maybe you could hold it in for 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, but if you're going to continue holding it in for another half hour or an hour, eventually you are going to get sick. That's what happened to Rava. And that is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes sure that even rabbis in this situation, in the end of the day, there is a second shikul where they have no choice, but yeah, he's going to get sick if he doesn't take care of himself. Okay, paragraph, hey, we are running out of time. Put on the gas. Habidgama klali shel nefishe katile kedar menefiche kafin. The Gemara brought this saying. Now, when the Gemara brings a saying that says that people die more from diarrhea or abdominal problems than they do from famine, there must be a reason why. I mean, this isn't the cleanest saying that you will find in life, right? If so, why is it in the Gemara? Rav Kook is going to explain that there is a symbolic explanation. Yorerenu lidamot darkei hanefesh bishmirat briyuta lorchot shmirat aguf. Maybe I'll just foreshadow this because we're running out of time. Rav Kook is telling us that just like if too much indulging means you're going to spend too much time in the bathroom, you're going to have abdominal problems. And the same thing, too little eating. Rav Kook is saying that, why is this in the Gemara? Because it is a mashal, it's a parable, also for spiritual needs. That if a person starves himself spiritually, for example, doesn't learn Torah, he's going to suffer. And he's going to be missing out a lot on life and on spirituality and about godliness and about himself. On the other hand, Rav Kook in Perek Keta Zayin says that there is such a thing as somebody who learns, quote-unquote, too much Torah without bikoret, without examining what's going in. And Rav Kook says there is such a thing as also spiritually eating too much, learning too much, and where you take the siyagim, the sigim, the residue, together with the Torah, sometimes you just have to step back and take into account, what have I learned? Let's put everything into perspective, and not just learn. There is such a problem, Rav Kook says, of too much quantity of learning without taking stock and organizing it. That's how he explains the parable. Paragraph Chet. Okay. Again, we're running out of time. We'll just do this orally. Rav Kook talks about how, just like physically, rabbis often suffer because of, like we said before, their communal duties, so too, also spiritually. And part of being a rabbi and a communal leader is mesirut nefesh. What is mesirut nefesh? Very often, it's mistranslated as self-sacrifice. Again, it's at the expense of your eating, your sleeping, your time. But Rav Kook says it's also at the expense of your spirituality. Because, like we said before, when the rabbi is traveling and teaching, and he's not learning, he's not writing, it is at the expense. And that's how Rav Kook explains the term va'ansile rabbanan bi'idne. Rava was forced by the rabbis in his class to stay there and answer question after question. What does it mean he was forced? Like we said, his communal role forces him to put his needs second class, even his spiritual needs. Even if the halacha is that, yes, you do have to go to the bathroom, and you might even suffer from swelling, hidrokan, that is the price that we pay. And then he finishes off with Ve'olat Siburi, at the end of paragraph Chet. Ve'olat Siburi, the yoke of communal responsibility. Huama keveta briuta ruchanita yoter el yona. Again, it has its price both physically and spiritually. Ve'nita kevlo shderat shalom mishmaya. Here Rav Kook is answering up an interesting Gemara in Source 4, where the Gemara Masechet Ta'anit says, Havi kachal shadaiti derava mishum da'abaye. Abaye used to have godly messages every every Erev Shabbat. Every Friday, Abaye would get a message from God. And Rava was jealous that he would only get these messages from God on the Erev Yom Kippur. Amrulei, they said to Rava, don't feel so bad. Mistayich de kamagnita kula kracha. It should be enough for you that your zchuyot, your righteousness, protects your city. In other words, your righteousness is protecting your city, so that's a pretty high level. So don't feel bad that you only get these godly messages once a year. Rav Kook here is beautifully explaining. Everybody see how what he's doing? Rav Kook is asking, so why does that answer the question? The fact that Rava, his righteousness protected his city, how does that answer the question that he was upset that he only got godly messages once a year and not once a week like Abaye. Rav Kook is explaining beautifully, because Rava's communal role, that he was so busy teaching and protecting and mezakeh his city, his community, that it was at his spiritual expense. A beautiful explanation. I hope you all caught it, because I said it quickly. Did you all catch that? And so that is how Rav Kook is explaining that Rava's dedication to his community, that brought him to spiritual and physical sacrifice, va'ansi le'rabbanan bi'idnei, that he himself had to sacrifice for the sake of the rabbis in his class. Any questions or comments? We only have a minute left, so if anybody has any comments... Was anybody here a son or a daughter of a rabbi growing up?